It was a case of 2 out of 3 for the Kerry clubs in All-Ireland Junior, Intermediate and Senior club action over the weekend. Rathmore and Fossa winning out their club championship matches, and also Kearns O'Reilly's losing out to Kilmacud Crokes by 3 points in Croke Park yesterday afternoon. Let's be on the line to talk about this. We've got our two of our commentators who are in commentary action for us over the weekend, with Mike O'Halloran and Tim Moynihan. Tim, if I could start with you, and first of all, I know, look, you would have known and you would have shared a commentary box many times with Blackwater man Paddy Palmer.
Yeah, Blackwater man is right, and you know, he went to Cork, and as you well know, Jerry, he's there with many a year, but his heart and soul was in it when he was behind that mic, and you know, fellas like myself, and I'm sure Mike could concur as well, that when you arrive on a day to do a match, you depend on other people's information that would know the locality or whatever. So anytime I went to Cork or anywhere else that I've met Paddy, you'd ask him about a player, about the club, he was always giving you that information. No different, we'd swap and exchange information about our club or our county, and well, you know, Kerry was his county and he knew it well. But the one thing about Paddy, he went to Cork and he had a huge connection, Jerry, with the clubs in Cork and what was good for Cork, and he'd call things out, but on a commentary duty, he had this distinctive voice and his turn of phrase, because you know, you're inside the commentary box with all these guys and sometimes you might be doing the game they're doing, you can listen in, and he had this thing, this wit, where he could bring it into his commentary, and from a professional point of view and from a radio point of view, he had this very unique commentating voice, and well, it was well known around Cork and around the country, but as a person as well, and that's what he'll be known better, because we saw social media last night and guys we met in Croke Park yesterday, to all good things they had to say to Paddy, and it was so sad the way this has happened, and I was genuinely put up a tweet myself last night that the commentary box won't be the same anymore, because he's the first guy you'd meet, and that the game Parky Arena or nowhere last year, that was the last time I met Paddy, and he was so helpful that day, and he walked down to Parky Arena with myself and the lads that day, and he was a giant, he had this smile as well, and I know all those things are being said today, but first of all, he was a family man, and he loved his sport and he loved his time behind the mic, and I think we're all in shock today, Jerry.
We certainly are, Tim, that's for sure. Listen, we'll start with Kearns O'Reilly's in Croke Park yesterday. If you told anyone at the start of the game it would take 53 minutes for Shane Walsh to score from open play, you would have thought, well, Kearns O'Reilly's may well win this one. It wasn't to be, though, 3 points down, but it took a goal line clearance to save it going to extra time.
Yeah, and I suppose when you sum up this game, that, you know, outside of Kilmacud, we're expected to win this and win it comfortable. And we were even chatting to lads, and well, one or two of them were formerly from a Dublin camp, says here, and they were saying that Kearns O'Reilly's wouldn't keep the ball kicked out to Kilmacud. But Kearns O'Reilly's didn't read the script yesterday, Jerry. They were unbelievable. And you know, when we talk about midfield play, Jerry, we don't see it a lot nowadays. You know, teams go short and build from their own full back line. But yesterday, Kearns O'Reilly's went long. And, you know, I can't understand why some teams, if you have the best midfielder in the middle of the park, kick the ball out to him. And David Moore gave an absolute exhibition. Yeah. Something I haven't seen, and we've done a fair amount of games in Croke Park over the last number of years. I've never seen a midfield display like he produced yesterday. And even in the second half, when obviously he was a big talking point going into the dressing room at half time for the Kilmacud Crokes, and they tried to crowd it out him, but he was still rising above him and tapping the ball down to, you know, that breaking ball to his own player. So that has to be recognised today. And you know, we said it yesterday during commentary, Jerry, I'm not trying to just focus in totally on David, but if you were Jack O'Connor this morning, you'd be begging. And I don't know what David Morton wants at the moment. He's busy in his accountancy or the accountancy practice. He's a young family. It's a difficult to be an inter-county player nowadays. But I tell you, he's the best midfielder in the county. But overall, the character shown by Kearns O'Reilly is absolutely brilliant right to the end. And I tell you one thing, Jerry, and I know, I suppose we talk about what we see, but the referee did no favours for Kearns O'Reilly yesterday.
Yeah. Why do you feel that's the case? Was he over-judicial with his freeze, or what was the situation?
Well, we've probably the one of the best vantage points when we're commentating games at level 7 of Croke Park and the Hogan Stand. But right underneath us yesterday, there was 2 high tackles in the first half. There were card offences, and the offenders were, on this occasion, Kilmacud Crokes, nothing. And for something less, I suppose, malice or whatever, on the other side of the field, a Kenzo Addy's player, get it. Now, going into the last, they had a brilliant third quarter, Kilmacud Crokes, but what happened then? The cynical foul injury underneath the stand, underneath the Hogan stand side, in places where I suppose Kenzo Addy's wouldn't hurt them. Now, it's crept into everyone's game now. You mind what you have. But I think if you're cynical and persistent fouling, you deserve to get a card. And, yeah. And you could say, on other days, they could have got a penalty as well. It's not me just picking on little things, but you know the game has gone very strange. If you're in the driving seat in the last 7 or 8 minutes, you can foul yourself to victory.
Yeah, and that's a thing, and teams can spot that and they'll use that, and that's where you need an effective referee. Tim, stay with me on the line. We also have Michael Halloran on the line, who was reporting on Fossa as they made their way to an All-Ireland Junior semi-final. Yes, indeed. Now, Mike, you were watching, you were observing Rathmore in action against St. Mogues of Fettered. 216 to 110 the final score here. Rathmore into an All-Ireland final. The Ryan Brothers scoring 1-8 in total. It wasn't all their own way, though. There was one period when Mogues looked like they were going to make this a game.
Well, you know, I mean, 9 points seems a lot in a football game. But I suppose, given the fact that it could have been we'd say a lot less, because the first five attacks by Fettered were reasonable point chances. They had they had maybe two half goal chances, but the 9 points really flattered Rathmore. But in saying that, I think Rathmore, everybody was talking before the match, Rathmore supported them, was talking before the match, they were saying, look, oh, the bookie said this and the bookie said that, it was like something like 10 to 1 on and all that kind of carry on. That would certainly get into the heads of any players in a club like that.
Yeah.
And they're not professionals. And I think maybe they would know with that small bit of that in the back of their minds and that get it. But that 10-minute spell there, I think they got 1-4, Fettered did, to bring it back into the game. And I think maybe that 1-4 woke up, and it came at the right time. It came before half time, I think, and that kind of woke up Rathmore, and they said, hey, yeah, we've got a bit of a nap here, we have to get back on the horse. And I think that will really stand them in good stead for the finals. I mean, I'm just looking there at it and you know, I think they had Rathmore had 10 different scorers, like, on a day, yeah, that they weren't at their best. That shows, like, what in them. Chrissy Spears only got 3 points, and then who might usually get, he could be in double figure sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But they got a very, a much more stern test than they thought they would, I say, because even though Mark Bryan always said Carl Ryan at midfield played very well, but so did Joe Sutton and Richard Waters on the other side, like. So Rathmore, I think, I was talking to their manager, I think they would have learned an awful lot from this game. I mean, the Rathmore manager was saying to me after that, look, they came up against a very hard-running team, and they mightn't be the quality that they'll expect in the final, because, you know, Tyrone teams on it, they'll, yeah, be tight at the back, and they'll have good forwards up front, so it could be a different test. But I think this really is a really good wake-up call for Rathmore, because they know now that they're going to be into a battle against this Northern club, and Saturday's game will really, really stand them in good stead. But look, they have quality all over the field. Just look, there was nobody you couldn't say didn't play well for Rathmore. Okay, we're talking about the other side as well, where they might be as good as they were, but Mike Joe Kelleher will say Dan Murphy played very well. Bernard O'Keefe, Paul first got a black card and spent 10 minutes sitting down. Mark Ryan and Carl Ryan midfield, even though I kind of contradicted myself now by saying that, yeah, Joe Sutton and Richard Waters played well, but they played well. I mean,
they had their
four points from midfield, like, it's great scoring. Mark Green, Chrissy was not his usual self the last day. Brian Friel played well. John Moynihan got a goal, they said. Damn it, he was very, very busy all day. And Shane Ryan from corner forward, like, getting 1-3. I know he came out the field after when Paul went back with the black card. He came out the field and played a defensive role. But they're a very serious team. I saw them playing against Kentorp, where they just annihilated Kentorp in the Munster series. But like, I don't think they've anything to fear now, given that there was a shock that they got on Saturday. So. Yeah. It's always well for a win on the final day.
It certainly does. Listen, brilliant stuff. Stay with us. We're going to talk a bit more about the action of the weekend, including Fossa's march to an All-Ireland final as well. Stay with us. Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme. We're talking about the weekend's All-Ireland club action. Two of the Kerry teams winning through to All-Ireland finals. One falling at the Croke Park stage in Croke Park against Kilmacud Crokes. That's Kearns O'Rahilly's. A brilliant season for them, has to be said as well. Tim Wynn is still with me on the line. And Tim, you were there. Stewartstown Harps and Fosser will contest the All-Ireland final at Croke Park next weekend. David Clifford and Co. back in Croke Park after their win this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, and deservedly so as well, Jerry. When I was speaking to Adrian Sheehan, the manager of Fossa the last day, this time 12 months ago, they were preparing for Croke Park, and that'll tell you how focused, and they assembled a team, you know, Mike Cahalani, him, Fitz Morris, Kevin Myers, Derry Sullivan and Kelly O'Sullivan, all part of that management team. But what's happening for them now, Jerry, is that their guys bought into it, and they know, you know, they're 60 minutes away, hopefully, from bringing that cup to that club in Fossa, a club that's worked very hard over the years to get into the position. But when you have players of the calibre of David Clifford and Paddy Clifford and other players starting to really play well around them, it gives them a right chance in the final. And the last day, Jerry, the stand was packed again, once again, in O'Moore Park. And you saw, I'm sure you saw it on social media, the minute the final whistle was blown, Evan Hoy, the fullback, was shaking hands with David Clifford. And what was done was done. And then all the youngsters jumping over the wall in O'Moore Park and just going to one man, David Clifford. We know what he brings, and he was exceptional. And I think he put down a marker as well at the start of the game, Jerry. He kicked a point after, what, 2 or 3 minutes, and he went over in front of the crowd and clinched the fist. He was up for it, and which he should be, but it showed, like you were talking about, a guy this after having a very long season. And then Paddy, the work rate of Paddy the last day, and their inside forwards, you know, he absolutely brilliant again, Emmett O'Shea, and their half-forward line tracking back. So, you know, things are happening for Fossa at the right time.
Yeah, there's hard work going on all over the pitch, not just in the forwards. Correct, which has them where they are now and heading into a battle against, again, Tyrone opposition.
Yeah, and maybe that's where Eamon Fitzmaurice, he'll know all about his own Fanoog in the past. There's Fierce Roy. You see, this is Kerry versus Tyrone again, Jerry, and so it takes on a life of its own. But Fossa can't think too much about this. It's about imposing their own game on this. And the forum, you know, there's no hiding places, as it proved yesterday. There's no hiding place in Croke Park. You know, those wide expanses at times. And they're, you know, a relatively young team with a mix of great experience as well. So it should even suit the Fossa side, and the form that the two Cliffords and likewise the O'Shea's at the minute. Keane O'Shea was brilliant at left half forward the last day, the tracking back, and there's an understanding now in the game, and they just, you know, it'll be a great test for this Tyrone side. But you know what Tyrone will do, blanket defence and break on the counter. It'll be something different that they haven't experienced before, but I'm sure the management will get inside the heads of these Fossa players, knowing, you know, this is not going to be like any other game they played, you know.
Yeah, it certainly won't, and that's what it will come down to now. It's been a very long year for players like Paul Murphy, players like Shane Ryan, players like the Clifford brothers as well. It's been an incredibly long year. How have they managed it, Tim? I know David Clifford's interview afterwards, he mentioned the split season as being key to keeping him going and fit throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely, and I know Jack O'Connor did an interview recently with Don Barry for Terrace Talk. He was saying, yeah, you know, that he was very you know, he had problems with injury during the year, David Clifford. So I'm not saying he had a break from, because he had to rehab and get back. But Jerry, this guy's going. This guy's not going since the Sigurdsson Cup last year. This guy's going since 2019, since he came on the Kerry set up. So we have to be very careful on that side of it, and the way Kerry look, the approach to the league. I reckon that David Clifford, and I know he loves the game and he wants to play every game, but I think it'd be wise to hold him back until the last couple of games of the league, and if we need him then to get points to bring him back, because they deserve their break. No different to Paul Murphy, Shane Ryan. These guys forfeited their holiday away, and likewise Paddy Clifford. So you know, they need a break from it as well, because, and you especially, and you know, I'm not saying I worry for David Clifford, but everyone wants a piece of him at the minute, and that can be mentally draining. We know he's, look, he's 23, 24 years of age, and that's his play. But every place, I'd say if you met him in the street, you'd want to talk to him. He's that sort of presence. And look, he's brilliant. He's well able to deal with it. But the point I'm making, they need their own time as well. You know, he's got a young family, David. So at times, we have, you know, they need that break from everything. But look, do you know why they manage it, Jerry? And no different to ourselves, why we commentating it, why Ambrose goes to games. We actually love it. You know, we love the game. It's our life. It's the other religion, Jerry. And that's what they want. They want to play football. But we have to be very fair with them as well. Yeah. They have lives outside football.
Yeah, indeed. Tim, listen, thanks a million for talking to us about that and for commentary over the weekend. It's Tim Moynihan there on the line. Michael Halloran as well. They were commentating on the three All-Ireland club semi-finals over the weekend involving Kerry teams. Two of them progressed, Rathmore and Fossa, into All-Ireland final action next weekend. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show. George, commentating yesterday's game as a rock man at Tossin Stack, says Cronin Sorati's team deserves to be totally complimented. David Moran played an outstanding game. The poorest performances on the day came from the referees. To his mind, Strand Road came out on top as a great sporting football team. And Councillor Patrick Conor Scartine gets in touch this morning, wanting to pass on his condolences on the death of Paddy Palmer, a native of Blackwater. Kenmare, based in Cork, was a wonderful sports broadcaster, had a particular expertise in GAA. He took particular pride in recent success of his home parish club, Templenoge. Condolences to all his family. May he rest in peace.